This is from the May 12th, 2019 worship service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 9 through 19. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 326. I am going to be reading from the New King James Version. And this is about Elijah. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by with a great and strong wind, tore into the mountain and broke the rock into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice, like a whisper. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, over Abel-Meholah, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I don't know what it feels like to be a fugitive. I've seen the movie The Fugitive, but it's not the same thing. As far as the law is concerned, I have never been a fugitive. You're probably glad to find that out. I can pass background checks. In fact, as a minister, I find myself cooperating with the law on any number of occasions. And I've been friends with police officers. And when I call them on the phone, they show up. Not everybody has that experience. Which isn't to say I'm perfect, of course. Most of you know that. Or that I've never done anything wrong. It's simply to say this. I do not have any firsthand experience being a wanted man, right? I don't know firsthand what it's like to be living on the lam, as they say. Seen those posters in the post office? You all probably have too, right? Wondered about the people in the pictures, how'd they get there to that point in their life. And I've watched Orange is the New Black, and I've watched Dead Men Walking, and wondered about how people end up in prison. And thought about how different my life was from their lives. And I'm just guessing here, but I bet most of you are in a fairly similar situation. You don't have to raise your hand. I've had glimpses of the other side, right? Been pulled over for speeding. Had an overdue notice on a bill that I didn't pay. But it's rare. I was in high school, a long time ago. My friend's dad owned a hardware store in the small town I grew up in, a lot like St. Helens. It was late one night, and some of us were there at the hardware store. It had closed, of course, already. And there was a pool table in the back room. There were cases of warm soda pop next to the pop machine that hadn't been put in there that you could drink for free. His dad knew we were there after closing time. But the local police department didn't. They do now. It didn't take very long to explain that we were not burglars. We were there with the proprietor's son, which is what my friend called himself. I don't know where he thought of that when the police officer quizzed him. But for a few minutes, it felt like we were wanted men with the flashing lights. And that was a long time ago. So mostly I don't know much about what it feels like to be a wanted man. The prophet Elijah does, though. The prophet Elijah in the Old Testament does know. The prophet, purveyor of the word of God, knows. This morning's scripture reading, Elijah's on the run, on the lam, right? Elijah's a wanted man, a fugitive from the government at the time this is written, because he's wanted by an evil queen who didn't like some of the negative things he said about her administration. And that's the risk of the job of a prophet, turns out. So he's more of a political prisoner than a burglar, but he's wanted, on the run. He's on the run because he stood up for what he thought was right, and things in the government were not. He's on the run because he challenged corruption. And the people in charge were corrupt. He's on the run because he tried to do what God told him to do and what he thought God was leading him to. And all alone, he stood up for Yahweh against the prophets of Baal. He was strong and sassy on Mount Carmel, but now he is, frankly, burned out. He feels isolated and alone. And he wonders how long he can keep trying all by himself. And now a queen is out to kill him. And frankly, he just wants to be left alone. He even tells God he wants to die. Imagine being at that point in your life. What is it like? To try and to try and to just seem to go nowhere. to feel like you're fighting an uphill battle, or you don't know where to turn, and to just have nothing go your way. Bills get higher, taxes get higher, salary gets smaller, problems at work, problems at home, problems with your kids, even your pets, and your computer and your phone and everything is turning against you. Anybody relate to the burnout prophet Isaiah? You walk through a half-dead shopping mall and your friends want everything they can get their hands on, and you're tempted to some form of corruption or other, and it's very depressing, and you're a victim of bad luck. It just happens. You want to crawl off into a cave. You've had enough. It's exactly what Elijah did at that point. He crawled off to hibernate in a cave and be left alone because he didn't know what else to do. And then what happens? God comes by, darn it. Elijah sits curled up in a little ball in his cave, and God won't leave him alone. First, there's a big earthquake, a violent wind, violent enough to turn a bulletin cover upside down, and then, like the wind of all his past problems, things swirl around and everything seems upside down, and there's a great big fire and it all quiets down and there's silence and stillness. And in the quiet, Elijah hears a little and it's only then that he gets up and goes to the door of his cave and comes out into the sunshine, ready to keep on living his life and trying to follow God and do what's right. All the windy, fiery power of God is not going to do it for him. He has to decide to get up and keep going and walking and living and doing. And he's finally ready when he hears this tiny little whisper in the stillness of his own heart in his little cave. And he recognizes something that's very, very, very important. There's a power that wants him more than all the evil in the world that he's running away from. He's wanted, all right. He's a wanted man, but he's wanted by God. Yeah, Elijah's a wanted man, but he's not only wanted by the law and an evil queen, he's wanted by God. He has something that God's going to use in what God is doing, which is way bigger than his problems. God still has something for him to do with his life. Elijah not only is a fugitive, he's a prophet. He's a teacher. He's a fighter. And the way God brings Elijah out of his depression is interesting to me. He doesn't say relax and recover, go to a spa, get a massage, talk to your therapist, take it easy. It's rough running from an evil queen. It's not what he says. God says, get up. I got something more for you to do. Specifically, God says, Elijah, what are you doing in a cave? Go and anoint a new king and find a companion and teach him everything you know and pass on what you've got to somebody else. Find Elisha. Pass on your knowledge. Care about the future. Well, several things strike me here. First of all, his life is renewed by having a new task to do. And it might seem harsh or uncompassionate at first how God is with him, but God knows that it's the right cure for meaningless and depression. I remember a woman named Hazel who was nominated to be the new treasurer of a senior citizen group in a small town in Pennsylvania about 20 years ago, 30. However old I am. Anyway, she was homebound, and she was withdrawing from her life for all kinds of understandable reasons, and the group decided she could still do this job. And so they did not take no for an answer. You are still wanted, they said. You can do this. You can't do those other things, but you can do this. Second thing that strikes me about Elijah is that his purpose is to raise up somebody else to eventually take his place. His purpose is to pass on what he knows and try to keep it going as best he can. We ordain and install new leaders, elders, and deacons in our congregation. We baptize new members. When we do those things, we're doing a similar thing. We're trying to pass on what we know. So when it feels like some kind of evil's out after you, like your religion's silly and people want you to be dishonest, remember God wants you more than that. Or when it feels like you're just too old and you're not wanted by the world anymore, remember God wants you more. And don't crawl up into your cave, but listen for the voice, the whisper of God in your heart. There's an old Norwegian story. It was retold by Robert Bly. I'm going to retell it and change it again, so it may not be recognizable even if you know the old Norwegian story. But anyway, it more or less kind of sort of goes something like this. And I'll close with this today. It adds insight, I think, this story, to how we might listen for the voice, the whisper of God in our hearts and lives. So a girl's on a journey, and she's been walking all day long, and she's tired, and night is coming, and she sees a house. So she goes up to this house, and there's a woman chopping wood in the yard. And the woman's like 30 years old, maybe. And the girl says, "Would it be okay if I spend the night overnight in your house?" The woman says, "Well, it's all right with me, but I am not the matriarch of this house. You'll have to ask my mother." Okay, well, the woman looks towards the doorway, and she sees a woman about 70 years old standing in the doorway. Must be her mother. Goes up, and the girl says, "Pardon me, ma'am, but look, I've been walking all day. Would it be okay, possibly, if I spent the night in your house?" "It's okay with me. But I'm not the matriarch of the house. You'll have to ask my mother," she says, "who's sitting at the table in there." And so the girl goes in, and she asks that woman, and that woman at the table looks like she's 100 years old. "Pardon me, I'm a traveler. Can I stay in your house? It's all right with me, but you have to ask my mother." There's an even older woman in the bed. Pull the covers up. And this oldest woman, in the smallest voice, whispers, "Yes, you could stay." And there's a tiny little grandfather sitting in a little chair next to the bed. And the tiny old woman in the bed and the grandfather together hand over the key to the house and give it to the girl. In order for the house to be handed over, the girl had to be shown the way by the oldest couple in the house. She had to be willing to ask and go in and sit by the bed and wait and listen. So how can we do like that? That's the question. How can we hand over the keys to the future to people who care, who are willing to care, who are wanted and who want to? How can we rediscover direction for our life and living the faith in this world as God would show us, as following Jesus would lead us, right? And partly, our calling to be prophetic is the answer. Prophets aren't just in the Bible. On this day, when we celebrate mothers in our lives, seems like important things to think about. May we all live as if we were wanted. Wanted like by your mother. Wanted by one another. And deeply wanted by a loving, but cajoling and sometimes irritating God.